Welcome back to Two Sisters and a TV, the classic TV podcast, where we remember and celebrate all things and everything classic TV. Gilligan's Island, definitely one of our favorite TV shows of all time. Very unrealistic premise, you know, seven castaways on a deserted island. No one could ever find them. People would visit the island and no one would ever, you know, take them back with them. But the show, which turned 60 this September, believe it or not, it made its debut on September 26th, 1964 on CBS, aired for three seasons, and has been in syndication for decades. The show is very, very special to so many of us. I mean, there are the people who watched it in its original run on CBS, and then there are those who grew up with it in syndication, watching it after school in reruns. I remember I first discovered Gilligan's Island in second grade. When I started third grade, there was an announcement that Gilligan's Island was going to be having a time slot change, and I was really freaking out. Because I loved everything about Gilligan's Island. And I wanted to be able to continue to see it after school every day. I would sit at my little table. I had a little table that my mom bought me. And I would sit at my table and I would do my homework and I would watch Gilligan's Island. Along with, you know, other TV shows as well. Like I Love Lucy and Family Affair. Bewitched. But Gilligan's Island, like I said, has always been very, very dear to me. So there was a time slot change for Gilligan's Island. It was moved up to 30 minutes earlier. And I was beyond relieved and elated that I was still going to be able to see it after school every day. And I still watch it now. It comes on MeTV on Sunday afternoons. They show two episodes back to back. And the entire series is available on DVD as well as Blu-ray. I'm sure it's streaming. I'm not sure exactly where, but it is streaming. There are countless books about Gilligan's Island, all kinds of social media groups and websites. And it is just extremely popular at almost 60 years old. That has not changed in all of these years. But there was one thing about Gilligan's Island that was always pretty troubling and pretty problematic from the beginning. And that was Tina Louise's relationship with the show. Now, Tina Louise is 90 years old now. And of course, her birthday was on the 11th of February. And it is unbelievable to think that not only is Ginger Grant 90 years old, but Tina Louise is the only surviving member of the cast of the show. And it's just crazy to think about. It's really incredulous because she was the one who had the most complicated and troubled relationship with the show. So we just want to take a deep dive today, yes, into what was really the problem. Why was Tina so conflicted in regard to Gilligan's Island? I mean, what really went on behind the scenes? What was it really like behind the scenes when the cameras were not rolling? And what was the real problem? What were the real issues in regard to Tina and Gilligan's Island? I'm sure a lot of you already know because there's a lot of big Gilligan's Island fans out there, always have been. So I'm sure to a lot of you out there, this is not really new news. But to some of you, I'm sure that it will be, you know, some, you know, things you haven't heard before. But Tina Louise actually was a pretty well-rounded performer before she got the part of Ginger on Gilligan's Island. Tina was born in New York, and she began studying acting, singing, and dance when she was 17. And she actually appeared on Broadway. So she is a Broadway actress. And she also, of course, appeared in several films before Gilligan's Island came along, including God's Little Acre, Day of the Outlaw, The Trap, and The Hangman, just to name a few. She also released an album in 1957 titled It's Time for Tina. Now, you can listen to the entire album on YouTube. She really didn't have a bad voice. Her voice, to me, sounds a lot like Diana Ross in the early days of the Supremes. They had that light, kind of girlish, sexy type voice. So their voice is definitely very similar. Also, you can get the album on eBay. You know, you can also pick it up there if you like. But she actually also guest starred with Bob Denver, who portrayed Gilligan, in the Beach Movie, For Those Who Think Young. It was released in 1964, the same year that Gilligan's Island made its debut. She was also in an episode of The Real McCoys. And so she had a really good, pretty healthy resume already before she got started on the show. Now, she actually left a Broadway musical titled Fade Out, Fade In to co-star in Gilligan's Island. So she was under the impression that going into television was going to really make her even more well-known than she had already been in films and in episodic television. But being on a weekly series where you're seeing week after week, that was going to definitely do a lot for her career. Now, according to what we found out and the rumors have been circulating for a long time now, for years, although a lot of people still, this is still unbeknownst to a lot of people, everyone doesn't know about all of this, but Tina, the producer, Sherwood Schwartz, of course, created and produced Gilligan's Island. Word has it that she was sought after so much that she was told that she was going to be the star of the show. That the show was going to revolve around a movie star, an actress, who was shipwrecked on a deserted island with six other people. So that's why she took the part. That's why she left the Broadway musical, and that's why she took the part. Because she was under the impression that this was going to be a starring vehicle for her on television. And, you know, television is a great way, has always been a great way to really, you know, increase people's exposure. It's been a really good career move for a lot of entertainers down through the years. My only question has always been, when she saw that the name of the show was going to be Gilligan's Island, what did she think? She probably, you know, because, you know, Hollywood, not the nicest place. Very self-absorbed, very cutthroat, very full of angles, very tricky, shady, meticulous, all that and beyond. They probably told her that, and I have not read this. This is just some stuff that the two of us talked about while doing the, you know, preparing for the episode. We think that she was probably told something along these lines. Well, Gilligan is not a name that you hear every day. It's a very unique and unusual name, very uncommon name. A name like Gilligan's Island is going to really stand out. It's going to really jump out at the audience, at the viewers, at the public. And that's why we named the show Gilligan's Island, instead of something like Ginger's Island or something that would, you know, put Ginger, the character of Ginger, she would be really focused on, if you will, in the title of the show. So you can be sure they spun it to her in that kind of way and she fell for it. Again, this is not something that we read. This is just something that we discussed, and because we were wondering, like, how could she have agreed to do a show called Gilligan's Island, and yet the show is going to be about Ginger? So we just got to talking, and we figured that they probably spun it to her in some kind of tricky way like that, and she fell for it. And it makes sense, because yeah, Gilligan is not a name you hear every day. Have any of us ever heard of anyone else named Gilligan before or since Gilligan's Island came into our lives? I doubt it. But anyway, so they were sitting down at the first read-through of the script. You know, the table read, that's, you know, the actors, the director, producer, everyone sits down and goes through the script, reads the lines, everyone reads their parts and all that, you know, get familiar with the script before they start, you know, actually blocking and doing dress rehearsals and taping and all that, you know, all that good stuff. Well, they were sitting down at the very first read-through. And Tina noticed that Bob Denver, had most of the lines in general, and he had most of the funny lines, and she interjected, and it was kind of like, what's going on here? You know, Bob is the one who has all the funny lines. He's got the most lines. I mean, what are we doing? So Sherwood Schwartz allegedly took Tina and pulled her aside, and he told her, that's the way it's going to be. The name of the show is Gilligan's Island. So Tina was really upset. She felt that she'd been played, she'd been conned, and she had been. Because for them to tell her that it's going to be a show all about you, and they knew all along that it was not, that she was just going to be one of the castaways, was very, very deceitful and misleading. Now, some say that Sherwood Schwartz told her this. Some say her agent told her this. Some say other producers and those within the creation of Gilligan's Island told her this. Some say the network, CBS, told her. But whoever did this really did, you know, deceive her. So she was not a happy camper being on the show. Now, according to Russell Johnson, who portrayed the professor, he wrote a book, as did Bob Denver. I think Don Wells also wrote a book. According to Russell Johnson, Tina Louise was always very professional. You know, all of her castmates, whenever Tina would come up, they always said that she was really perfect for the part of Ginger. She was a very good actress, and she was just really right for the role. And she fit in well with the rest of the cast. The cast had an amazing chemistry. One reason why the show is still so popular today is because everyone just really, they just fit so well together. But the thing is that when the cameras were not rolling, Tina was very distant. According to Russell Johnson, remember the episode when Tina got the chance to play a dual part? This lady scientist named Eva Grubb popped up on the island, and she had dark hair and glasses, and she was very conservative and kind of nerdy. And she's also very, very kind of distant. She had a very sullen personality, not very friendly, not very conversational, if you will. Well, he said that they did not know from day to day which Tina were they going to get. Were they going to get Ginger Grant, or were they going to get Eva Grubb? Because she was known for not really conversing with anyone behind the scenes. You know, when they were taking, you know, their lunch break, or they were waiting for a scene to, you know, a scene to be set up before they were able to shoot it, she would sit off by herself. For example, they're all having lunch. It's lunchtime. The other six of them, they're having a good time. They're all sitting together. They're laughing. They're talking. They're joking around. Tina is sitting off by herself. And it became noticeable because there is a January 1965 issue of TV Guide. I'm sure you can go over to eBay and find it. A reporter from TV Guide visited the set of Gilligan's Island. And the reporter mentioned that basically Tina ignored the cast, the rest of the cast, and the rest of the cast ignored Tina. And Bob Denver in particular and Tina had a very, very frosty relationship. I mean, in Bob's book, I don't remember the title of it, but he's not very kind to her in his book. According to what we read, Bob Denver thought that the character of Ginger was a waste of time, that she didn't need to be there, that she didn't serve much of a purpose. All of the other characters, in his opinion, were very integral to the part that they played within the show. They were all necessary. They all were important and made sense. Ginger was pretty much obsolete in his opinion. Now, Bob Denver, not at all the bumbling goofball Gilligan that he played on the show. Bob Denver was very reserved. He actually used to be a school teacher. And he was very smart, and he could be very reserved. He was very nothing at all like Gilligan. And so this is how he thought of the character of Ginger. He just didn't think that she needed to be there. I mean, they had Marianne, and that was all they needed. They didn't need, you know, two really hot women, two beautiful women. They just needed Marianne, then of course, Mrs. Howell. No disrespect to Bob Denver, at all. I've always been a fan of Bob Denver's, going back to not only Gilligan's Island, but also The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, where he portrayed Maynard G. Krebs. But I have to respectfully disagree with that. I think that Ginger definitely was a very important part of the show. And I think a lot of fans of the show feel the same way. Ginger definitely made, she rounded out the cast. She, you know, helped to make the cast complete. But also in this interview in TV Guide, it was reported that whenever there were times, not all the time, because you can go do a Google search and you'll see, you know, cast pictures of all seven of the cast members. But there would be times when Bob would be asked to take a picture with Tina, and he adamantly flat out refused. He would not pose for pictures with her. Now, surprisingly enough, the cast, all except for, I think, Russell Johnson, I have a picture where Tina got married in 1967, I believe it was. Either 66 or 67, she got married. And the entire cast is posing with her in her wedding dress, in a picture. Even Bob Denver, although he didn't look too happy to be there, they were all in attendance except for Russell Johnson. Now, some claim that he's the one who took the picture, which maybe that's true. Well, others claim that he just was not in attendance because he just did not care for Tina and her attitude. I don't think anyone within the cast was really pleased with Tina's attitude because she was just so sullen. She didn't hide her displeasure being on the show. She felt the show was going to definitely kill her career, that she was going to be typecast as some airhead, you know, pretty woman who didn't have a brain. And so she thought the show was going to ruin everything for her. Now, did it ruin her career? I won't say it ruined it, but it did affect it. Because let's face it, I saw Tina Louise probably about 2 years ago in an episode of Bonanza one day. And the first thing that I thought was, oh, Ginger. No matter what you see Tina Louise in, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is Gilligan's Island. You're going to say Ginger. So, I mean, she definitely was typecast like all the rest of the actors and actresses were. And it definitely was not a mold that she could break out of. You know, because people would come up to her in restaurants or on the street or in the department store. Oh, it's Ginger. And she would say, you know, to fans, she'd say, I don't know who you're talking about. I'm Tina. Oh, and you know, people would just, they wouldn't even ask her for an autograph or anything like that or a picture. They would just back away. What do you really say? What do you do when someone has a kind of a response? You know, you just kind of leave them alone. So she, like I said, as good as she was as Ginger, she was definitely not happy to be there. I mean, she was professional when it was time to, you know, shoot a scene, be in a scene, do this, do that. She did her job. But outside of that, she just let everyone know that she did not appreciate having been lied to and deceived about what this show was actually going to be about. She didn't like the fact that she had been conned and played, and she let people know it. And she just kept herself very distant from everyone who was a part of the show when they were behind the scenes. So, of course, the show ended in 1967 after it was bumped to renew Gunsmoke. Now, Gunsmoke had been canceled. The president of the network, William Paley, had a fit because Gunsmoke was his wife's favorite show. And he's like, no, we have to keep Gunsmoke on. We have to keep that on for my wife. So we have to bump one half-hour program to be able to keep Gunsmoke on and to renew it. Well, the half-hour show they decided to bump was Gilligan's Island. And it was unceremoniously canceled after 3 seasons. Now, this is something that we also read while doing research for the episode. Word has it that if Gilligan's Island had come back for a 4th season in the fall of 1967, that Tina was either going to be replaced with another actress, or she was going to be let go from the show altogether, and the character of Ginger was going to be somehow, Ginger was going to be rescued off the island but not everybody else. Everyone else was still going to be in the island, but Ginger was going to be the one to be rescued. So they were seriously talking about, I mean, this could be, the stuff I'm telling you right now, except for the TV Guide article, don't know if, I mean, everything that we're telling you is true, but this particular story that we're talking about right now, about how she was going to be taken off of the show, replaced, she was going to be rescued, unlike everybody else, we don't know if this is true. And everything else that we've read, you know, like I said, you know, this is like, this comes from, you know, Bob Denver's book, Russell Johnson's book, Sherwood Schwartz himself, Don Wells. It comes from, you know, people who interacted and saw Tina, especially when Gilligan's Island was on the air and that years after it had ended. So this, all the rest of the stuff we've told you about is factual, but this particular claim, this is not something that we can say that this is completely authentic. This might not even be true, but we did read it when we were doing research for the episode that they were claiming that she was going to be taken off of the show, that she was going to be let go. I don't know about that though. I mean, I think that if they would have actually done that, first of all, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Okay, Ginger's rescued because she's a movie star. Wouldn't Ginger have gone to bat to get everybody else off the island too? It's not authentic to the character of Ginger. It's more like you're writing for Tina Louise instead of Ginger Grant. So I don't think it would have gone very well with the audience. And then next of all, for you to have, you know, taken Tina Louise off, I think that would have really hurt the show. No, don't get me wrong. Tina Louise has a lot of critics because, you know, I read an article about Gilligan's Island doing research. It was on the MeTV website. There are a lot of negative comments about Tina Louise. A lot of people do not care for her and her attitude about the show down through the years. A lot of people don't even, you know, realize that she's, and we'll get to this later, of course, you know, down further, but a lot of people don't even realize that she has mellowed a lot about her Gilligan's Island experience over the years. Some people don't even know that. So she is not necessarily a very popular cast member or actress amongst a lot of fans. But I still think it would hurt the show for them to have gone that direction. So, but because the show was canceled in favor of Gunsmoke, none of that ever happened. And after the show ended, Tina continued to act. She was in a lot of movies and she was in episodic television. She was trying super, super hard to distance herself from Gilligan's Island. She wanted people to forget all about Ginger Grant. And she was really, like I said, taking on some very, you know, really out of character roles, if you will. For example, she portrayed a heroin addict in an episode of Kojak in 1974. She was also in the movie Happy Ending. She was in the Stepford Wives, the original Stepford Wives from 1975. The Happy Ending was released in 1969. And one of my favorite things that she has done down through the years, she was in originally in Dallas, the TV series Dallas. She portrayed Julie Gray. She was Jerry Ewing's secretary and his mistress. She was great in Dallas. She really showed her acting skills in Dallas. Now, I haven't seen her in a lot of other, you know, TV or movies. She was good in the episode of Bonanza that I just mentioned. And like I said, she was fabulous in Dallas. She was so good in that role. And she and Larry Hagman had an amazing chemistry. Their chemistry was off the charts. And I was so disappointed when she was killed off, because she really was amazing on that show. And again, she really proved that she could act. Now, it was during her time on Dallas when Gilligan's Island had their first reunion movie, Rescue from Gilligan's Island, which aired in the fall of 1978, I believe, over on NBC. Everyone else came back for the show except for Tina. Now, according to Sherwood Schwartz, Tina was going to come back and do the reunion movie. She agreed to come back, but the salary that she requested was just too high, and so they replaced her with Judith Baldwin. There were three reunion movies of Gilligan's Island, and Tina was not back for either of the three of them. And I heard her say in some, there was a TV scandals or TV Guide scandals episode they did around the year 2000, and Tina was interviewed, and she said that the critics said that she did the right thing by not appearing in the movies. But critics don't know anything. Critics didn't like Gilligan's Island in the first place. But a lot of fans are not very happy with the fact that she refused to do any of the reunion movies, which that was disappointing that she was not in any of the movies. Everyone else came back, but she refused to. So like I said, she's not a favorite among a lot of fans of the show. But Tina has mellowed out a lot when it comes to Gilligan's Island. Some people say that her daughter, she has a daughter named Caprice Crane. She has a successful career in her own right. And some say that her daughter definitely has influenced a lot of her changes in regard to Gilligan's Island and how she has come to terms with Gilligan's Island and with Ginger Grant. Now, she was in a Good Morning America reunion that they did. It's on YouTube, or at least it used to be. Hopefully it's still there. They all got back together. David Hartman interviewed them. This was 1982 or 83. She was a part of that. She was a part of some old Navy commercials in the 90s that she did with Don Wells. Those were super cool. She was a part of a Gilligan's Island cruise that they all went on sometime in the 90s or the early 2000s. She appeared in an episode of Roseanne in 1995. It was kind of like a tribute in a way to Sherwood. The whole cast, they all did Gilligan's Island. Then the original cast members who were still living, they all came and they all appeared along with Sherwood Schwartz. She was a part of the Late Show reunion in 1988. And this was the last time that the entire cast would get back together. And I was thrilled to see this because it aired on my 17th birthday. That was a great birthday present for me. It's on YouTube. It's in its entirety. It is kind of awkward to watch because it's great to see everybody back together, of course, but there was tension there in regard to Tina and some of the cast. Tina and Natalie Shaver, who portrayed Mrs. Howell, they really kind of... Tina didn't really... Maybe behind the scenes they did this stuff in the green room or something like that. But on camera, there was a lot of tension. She and Natalie Shaver just kind of waved to each other a little bit. Russell Johnson and Don Wells did not even acknowledge Tina at all. They did not shake hands with her. They didn't wave. They just ignored her. And it was really kind of sad to see, you know. Tina, of course, demanded, no doubt, before being a part of the interview or the reunion, rather, that one of her latest film be plugged because they showed a clip from her latest film that she was in. You could definitely sense the tension between she and Bob Denver. They shook hands, but it was forced. I think the two that were really the happiest to see her were probably Jim Backus, who was Mr. Howell, and Alan Hale, who was the skipper. Alan Hale, a very nice guy anyway. And Tina did say they did an Entertainment Tonight special on Gilligan's Island back in 2000 or so. And Tina said wonderful things about Alan Hale. Tina said wonderful things about all of the cast members of the show in recent years. After Russell Johnson passed away, she called him a lovely, lovely, beautiful man. When Bob Denver passed away in 2005 at the age of 70, she gave a really lovely tribute to him in a year-end issue of Entertainment Weekly. They had a very, like I said, frosty relationship. Bob even accused Tina. He said that he would hear her having sex in her dressing room next door to him. She denied it. She didn't appreciate him saying that about her. Whether it was true or not, well, you know, who knows? But she did pay a beautiful tribute to Bob Denver after his passing. After Don Wells' passing, she paid a lovely tribute to her as well when she passed away in late 2020. She said lovely things about Natalie Shaver, who was Mrs. Howell. And of course, her favorite on the show was Jim Backus. I think that she liked Jim Backus the most because, well, Jim Backus was already a legend before the show even got started. I mean, he was the voice of Mr. Magoo. He was in I Married Joan. He was in Rebel Without a Cause. He was James Dean's dad in the movie. So she had a lot of respect for Jim Backus. And I think that he was probably her favorite cast member. She definitely said that he was the sexiest of the guys on the island. And that if she had to pick the lover, it definitely would have been Mr. Howell. So I think she had a respect for him she didn't have really for anybody else who was a part of the show. And then probably after Jim Backus, then definitely Alan Hale. Because how could you not have liked Alan Hale? He was just a very sweet, kind, jovial, funny, adorable man. And also, the TV Land Awards honored Gilligan's Island back in 2004, and Tina was a part of that. If you look at pictures, and if you look at footage, this is, you can watch the whole TV Land Awards on YouTube, that particular one where they were honored. Russell Johnson didn't look too happy to be standing next to Tina at times. Some of the pictures they made together, he didn't look too happy to be standing next to Tina. Didn't look too happy to be standing next to her. When they actually were, like I said, receiving their award from the TV Land Awards. So there was still some tension there between both she and Russell Johnson and Bob Denver, unfortunately. But Tina also appeared with them at a children's hospital reunion in 1989 before Jim Backus' passing. They all got together. They went to a children's hospital. They all appeared, and Tina was a part of that. So like I said, Tina has come a long ways in regard to Gilligan's Island. She said even just a couple of years ago when the whole pandemic was taking place that she really appreciated Gilligan's Island more than ever. I'm paraphrasing. These weren't her exact words, but she said that Gilligan's Island has brought a lot of comfort to people, and she appreciates the fact that that show has made people so happy through the years and still brings comfort and joy to people's lives. She's also said in recent years that she really loved the character of Ginger Grant. She said that when they got a new director, I don't know which director she was referring to. I didn't see a name when I read this. She said that they got a new director and the director really began to write specifically for Ginger. And that really helped her to embrace the character even more. He made her a lot, of course, as we know, like Marilyn Monroe. And that's when she really began to enjoy playing Ginger. And she said that she really did love her character. Now, I think it was either Russell Johnson or maybe Don Wells. They mentioned this new director as well. And one of them said that as a result of this new director really focusing more on the character of Ginger, it kind of took away from the other characters on the show. I don't remember which one of them said this. I think it was Russell Johnson, though. I think that's in his book. But lots of, like I said, memorabilia in regard to Gilligan's Island. All you do is go. All you have to do is go to eBay. Like I said, lots of books. And the show, like I said, 60 years later almost, still, like I said, a lot of fun to watch. I watch every chance I get. I absolutely love Gilligan's Island. And like I said, it's just unbelievable that Tina is the last cast member of the show. Jim Backus passed away in 1989. Alan Hale passed away in 1990. Natalie Schaefer passed away in 1991. I remember being so saddened when the three of them passed away just so close together. I don't remember the year Russell Johnson passed away. But as I said, Bob Denver passed away in 2005. And Don Wells in 2020. And they are all very much missed. And, you know, we all still continue to enjoy all of the cast, all the characters on Gilligan's Island. There have been talk about movies and reboots. I think they did like a reality show. My sister watched it. She said that it was not as good as the TV show. But she did watch it. She said that it was interesting because the actress who portrayed Ginger had to stay in that evening gown. And that's one of the things about Gilligan's Island. Like I said, I mean, it is, like I said, as I've gotten older, there's certain things I've picked up on and noticed I didn't notice when I was a kid. Like, okay, how is Marianne's hair so curly? Where'd she get the rollers from? You know, and then, of course, all of the clothes. You know, and it's like, for example, remember when they did the honeybees skit, you know, you need us. Where'd they get the phonograph from? Where'd they get that record from? Where'd they get the album from? You know, for the music. So you pick up on these little things with time, but it doesn't change a thing. At least it does not change a thing for, I think, most people. It has not changed a thing for us. It just makes it even funnier. You know, the Howells had all these clothes. You're going on a 3-hour tour. Why do you have all these clothes? And why do you have stacks and stacks of money? Don't you know you could get robbed? But again, to us, it just makes the show even funnier when you look at these things. How the professor was so freaking smart. Very, very handsome. Very, very smart. He would create all this stuff around the island. But he couldn't fix the hole in the boat. And Gilligan. It's like Gilligan wanted to be stuck on that island. Gilligan was the one who was always ruining, inadvertently, their plans to get off the island. He was always the one who would mess things up. And it's kind of like, I know one day we were watching it some years ago, the two of us, and we're like, I don't think he wanted to get off the island. I think he enjoyed being on that island with the Howells and the skipper, Marianne and Ginger and the professor. So like I said, the show, again, it's timeless. It's funny. Yes, it's silly. It's unrealistic. But like I said, it really is sometimes you need a silly show like that to take your mind off of things, to just escape. It's great escapism. And that's one reason why it was created in the first place. You know, the Vietnam War was raging. President Kennedy had been assassinated. Before that, the Cuban Missile Crisis had taken place. All kinds of social and racial unrest going on in the country. Gilligan's Island, marvelous escapism TV. And it is still great escapism TV today in 2024. So to Tina Louise, you keep doing it, girl. She lives in Manhattan. And I think that she's still working. She actually wrote 3 children's books some years ago. She hasn't been in a movie in a while, but she's still active and she still looks great. And it is wonderful that she evidently has come to terms and has made peace with her Gilligan's Island history. Because, like I said, we adore her. We adore her, my sister and myself, and so many others do. And it's good, like I said, that she's still around. She's still with us. And like I said, she looks good and she's living her life. And we dedicate the episode not only to her, but to the other cast members who are no longer with us. Because like I said, they made beautiful magic together that we're still enjoying 60 years later and that we'll continue to enjoy in the years ahead. So thank you for joining us for this episode of Two Sisters on TV. We took a look back at not only Gilligan's Island, but the Tina Louise connection to Gilligan's Island. We'll have another episode coming up, if not later this week, certainly next week. If you've not become a follower of this podcast, please hit the follow button. That way you won't miss any of the episodes that we bring to you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your just being so involved with this podcast. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for supporting it, for listening to it, for following it, for rating it, for reviewing it. Because without you all, this podcast would not be nearly as much fun to do. So thank you all so much for being there. Thank you for everything. And we will see you all on the next episode.